Second Kings this morning, Second Kings chapter 2. Boy, hadn't it been good to be in the Lord's house this morning? She was sitting there on that front pew, and she was nervous, and so I was trying to help calm her down, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you what your daddy tells me all the time. You just get up there and get down with it. And I don't think that really helped her, Brother Bull, but she, what a great job she did this morning, allowing the Lord to use her. Who am I that he showered these blessings and the love down on me? Little old me, isn't God good this morning? Isn't God wonderful? I tell you, this week I've been gone preaching. I've preached every night this week. And, you know, I think at the beginning of the week, boy, I'm going to get tired. But I tell you, Jesus is so good. Jesus is so great. Man, I'm telling you, if there's anybody worth getting tired over, it's Jesus. Amen. And one thing I found out serving him, you really can't get too tired because you can't serve him enough. Because he's so worthy of it this morning. We've been preaching for several months on the family, but we have finished that last week. Last week blessed my heart. Seeing all of these people coming down and supporting these children, that is awesome. Man, it blessed my heart, and I hope you were here for this. But I'm going to move on. We are past that now. And I want to ask you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 2. If you're glad to be saved, say amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, said unto him, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they were two went over on the dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. The sons of the prophets which were to view Jericho saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. Give me the power, Lord, that I desire to preach your word. Lord, I pray that we would put the world and the distractions to the side a little while this morning so that we can focus on your word. Give us understanding. Lord, give me power from on high. Lord, I don't want to be seen. I want you to be seen and heard from this pulpit this morning. I pray that souls will be saved. And I pray the saved will be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, how to be a better Christian. How to be a better Christian. And I simply want to use Elisha on to illustrate how to be a better Christian. We see in this text this morning that the life of Elisha reveals a desire for better things, a desire to get more, a desire to receive more. He wanted to be better for the Lord. Friday night, I seen a good example of this. As I went to the football game and I was sitting there in the pouring down rain and everybody soaking wet and sitting there watching these boys play, and they got out there on the field and you could tell compared to normal they weren't themselves. They were started off a little slow. They were a little slothful in their playing, and they needed to be motivated a little bit because you could tell their desire was not where it needed to be. And the coach sat them down on the bench when the offense got to the bench, and he sat them down, and I think everybody in the stadium could hear every word he was saying to them, trying to motivate them, trying to drive some passion and some intensity into them. He didn't say nothing wrong. He didn't say anything out of the way. But he simply would not settle for mediocrity. He simply knew that they were not at their best. And he was willing to do anything and everything to get the best out of those boys. Well, I want you to know that that should go the same way for Christianity. We should never settle for mediocrity. We should never settle for just a little bit and just drag it in and just barely serving God. And, well, I'm here and that's it. Child of God, we ought to be so much more than here. Amen. If we know Jesus, we know the author. We know the creator of all things. And if we have Jesus, we ought to have a desire to not just be just a moderate Christian, not just be just a satisfied Christian, but we ought to be a Christian with a burning desire to do more and more for Jesus every single day. And I want to ask you this morning, is there a desire within your heart, child of God? Listen, if you're not saved, you need to get saved this morning, okay? You need to be saved. You don't need more. You need to get Jesus this morning. But if you've had Him, if you trusted in Him, I ask you this morning, where are you with the Lord? Where are you with your burning desire to get up and go to work for the Lord every day? Where are you with your excitement and your joy? This morning, I didn't have to come in and pump y'all up. Man, y'all come in here shouting and singing and praising. That's how we ought to be every day. Amen? We ought to be so excited and passionate about what we're doing for the Lord. I want you to know that God and the love that you have for Him ought to motivate us. I want you to notice that Elisha never got complacent or content with his relationship with God. He was never satisfied with where he was. He always wanted to go the next step. He always wanted more power. He always wanted more of God. And I want you to know, child of God, you can get more of God today. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." The Bible said it is God that works in us. That word "work" in the Greek simply means energy. It is God that gives us the energy to go to work for Him. It is God that puts within us the energy to get excited and to do more and to go further and to witness more and to pray harder and to study harder. It's God that works in us. You say, how in the world can I be a better Christian? You got to get more of God. Okay? You need to submit yourself to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is the energy that the child of God needs to operate as a Christian. You cannot operate properly if you don't have the right kind of energy. May I tell you, the Holy Spirit is the energy that we need. As God's people, as Christians, as cheerleaders for purity and righteousness, we need some energy. If we had about half the energy Miss V had, I'll tell you, this would be a rowdy place, wouldn't it? We need some energy. We need some excitement. We need some ump and some unction every now and then to go a little further with God, to do a little more, to sacrifice a little more. And boy, when I look at the big picture, that's what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He gave everything. He laid it all down and was willing to do all so that we could be saved. So that we could have a Savior. So what was it that this man did to teach us how to become a better Christian? Number one, he followed after the man of God. Notice verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Three times in this story, Elijah says, I'm going to go off and I'm going to die. And Elisha says, no, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you. Now they're in Bethel, and the context of this story is very simple. These are a group of preachers here, or prophets, that is at this school in Bethel. Elijah was, if you will, the president of the seminary, okay? This was the head man of God. And this was the man that was more mature, more wise. He had more of the power of God in his life than probably anybody. And he developed it as a Christian throughout his years. And here comes all of these seminary students on fire, in love with God. And they just wanted to do the right thing. But Elisha stands apart. Now, we read of 50 men. We know there's at least 50 men in this school. And Elisha did something that nobody else did. He became the teacher's pet. Okay? He became the teacher's pet. And we always make fun of the teacher's pet, don't we? Well, they're just trying to get brownie points. They're trying to get this. They're trying to get that. And that's exactly what Elisha was trying to do with Elijah. Because he understood, of all the people he met, he's never met a man like Elijah. He knew that Elijah loved God. He knew that Elijah was committed to God. He knew that Elijah had the power of God and the Spirit of God resting upon him. Why wouldn't you submit yourself to those people that love the Lord the most? And he's seen a man that excelled in his Christianity. He excelled in his walk with the Lord. I tell you, as Christians, we would do better if we surrounded ourselves with good Christian people. Sometimes we're not getting everything we can. And sometimes God's not getting everything out of us because we're surrounding ourselves with people that is holding us down rather than exalting us and pulling us forward with the Lord. You know what Elijah did to Elisha? He challenged him every day to serve the Lord. And every day Elisha served God. Every day he prayed to the Lord. But there was something in him, Brother Allen, that when he looked at Elijah, he said, this man is just separated. He's just different. He's got a love. He's got a passion. And he was hungry for it. So he submitted himself to the man of God. And he said, he's got God, so I'm going to get all of him I can. And it wasn't that he was following the man, he was following God. Let me tell you something, don't you ever follow a man. Hello, are y'all awake? Don't ever follow a man because a man's going to let you down. God will never let you down. As Christians, we need to surround us with some good people that will lift us up and encourage us and pull us forward in our relationship with the Lord. Let's get honest. Let's get real this morning. There are some people that don't want us to do any more for the Lord. There are some people that we've allowed in our life that is holding us back. You know what Elijah said? I want all I can get. That's what Elisha said of Elijah. He said, this man of God, he's committed, he's submitted. I want to be around him. I want to talk to him. I want to pray with him. I want to experience what he experienced. Man, I want to go further. Child of God, I want you to encourage you this morning to surround yourself with some people who love the Lord. If you surround yourself with people that cuss all the time and drink all the time and are negative all the time, that's how you're going to end up being for long. They're not going to improve your walk with the Lord. But you get around some people that are in the Word of God all the time and are praying, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start hungering. You're going to start hungering. I've got a friend in the ministry, I'm going to embarrass him, but I love Brother Allen. Brother Allen pulls me forward. We have our Bible study together. We have our BTC class. He loves it so much. I call him all the time. I bug him all the time. Oh, well, Brother Allen, you're going to have to get over it, I guess, because he loves the Lord. And I just, man, I get around him, and I get around preacher brethren, Brother Trey. It's contagious. and you get around people that's on fire, you get around people that's in love with Jesus, it just draws you. And you want to be more like them, but it's not about being like them. It's about being like Jesus. Because though I may be, it may sound like I'm exalting Brother Allen or Brother Trey, I'm not exalting them. I'm exalting Jesus through them. Because if you talk to them, it's not about them. It's about who they love and who they serve and who has saved them. And that's what makes them excellent in their life. Let me tell you what makes you excellent in your life is who you serve and who you give your life to and who you give your life for. You say, I serve nothing. Yes, you do. You serve somebody or something. Why not Jesus this morning? Why not submit ourselves fully to the Lord? The man of God is dying. And Elijah was devoted to staying by the side. And he wanted to stay there and learn everything that he could. He wanted to drain him of everything he could. And Elisha was submitted to the man of God. You know what this showed to me? This showed his humility and respect for authority. Here was this young preacher. He could have said, well, I know everything. I don't need to know anymore. Lord, I know everything. And this instructor is good and he's great, but I know it all. Elisha never got to that place. He never got content with where he was. Y'all know this. One of the men that God's placed in my life is Brother Jerry Carter, who taught me in seminary, was the dean of the seminary that I went to. And Brother Jerry Carter was one of my Elijahs, if you will. He pulled me along. But if I'd ever gone to class thinking I know it all, I wouldn't have got anything. If I ever went to class thinking Brother Jerry don't know what he's talking about, I'd have never learned anything. Let me tell you something. We need to humble ourselves and realize that God has placed people around us to help us and to better us. There was times I didn't like Brother Jerry. Don't you tell him that. There was times I didn't agree with everything he said. But my ministry developed so much better because I submitted myself and listened to those old people. Y'all ever said that? I got to listen to these old folks. If you would listen, these old folks know what they're talking about. Amen. They know what they're talking about. Submit yourself to those people who love the Lord the most. Submit yourself to those people that read the Bible the most. Submit yourself to them. Just engulf yourself with them. And I promise what they have will become contagious. And it will rub off on you. I want you to notice verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He followed after the man of God and he followed after the Spirit of God. He went to Elijah and he said, Elijah, I want double. I want double. And he's basically asking for what he had. Y'all with me this morning? He's asking for what he had. Now in the Old Testament, there was a law to this. And you can keep your finger there and flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And there's a verse that deals with this because Elisha is asking for something that was really not Elijah's to give. Okay? But there was something to this. This man was dying and Elisha wanted what Elijah had. In Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Excuse me, verse 21, verse 17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength and right of the firstborn is his. So it's a biblical thing to get a double portion of the father. But the thing is, Elisha was not Elijah's son. And so he's asking for something that's really not his to receive. And he said, I want that double portion. I want that double portion. You know what he's saying? I want to become your son so that I can receive and inherit those things that God has given you. That's how much he wanted God, is he was willing to go to him and say, hey, I want everything you got. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, I want everything you got? Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, I like your land, I like your money, I want it? Boy, that's convenient, ain't it? This man went to this other man and said, I see what you have in Jesus, and I want everything that you have, and I want a double portion of it. But in reality, he could give him this, he could inherit this through the scripture, through the law, but in all actuality, it was not his to give. It was God. And it was up to God to give him this. And this man wanted the Spirit of God so much that he was willing to submit himself to this other man and say, look, I'll do anything to get a double portion. I want more of the Spirit of God. I want more Jesus. I want more of the Bible. I want more of witnessing. I want more prayer. I want more church. I want more. I want more. I want more. Child of God, there ought to be a deep hunger and thirst within us to want more of the Lord. For this man to go to this other man and ask this weird question, why would he ever do this? Because he wanted more of God. And the Bible says, you don't have to turn there, but in the book of Matthew, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Child of God, we need to get hungry, okay? We need to get thirsty. We need to get on fire. We need to understand that just going and just doing it ain't always good enough, okay? We need to understand that we need some fire within us. And as God's people, we got to get hungry. Why did this man request this? Because he had a hunger that only God could fill. And let me tell you something. As that coach sat them boys down, and he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't even act like you want it. Child of God, how many times we ought to be sat down just like them players and be chewed up and spit out? Because we need some fire. Amen. We need some hunger and some thirst. We need some people that just get a desire for other people to get saved. We need some of God's people to get a desire to serve the Lord and to worship and to pray. Don't you love this morning? Isn't it awesome to come before the presence of God and worship and sing and praise? It's all about Him this morning, isn't it? But God's people got to get hungry. You know what I see across America and see across our churches? God's people have lost their hunger. We'd rather go anywhere in the world than a church sometimes. There's something wrong with that. We'd rather watch any television show than pick up our Bibles and read about what Jesus has done for us. Child of God, we ought to hunger and we ought to thirst for the things of God. You ought to wake up and say, man, I want to go to church. You know what I say? We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. We don't have to serve God. We get to serve God. And He's worthy of it, isn't He? And as hungry as you get for deer hunting and fishing and shopping, that hunger for the Lord ought to be 100-fold. We need some men to get hungry. We need some mamas to get hungry. What will you be willing to lay down so that you can have more? Just to have more. Now I want you to notice what this says. Stay with me now. Number 3, he followed after the power of God. Notice verse 10. He asked for this double portion, verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it come to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And Elisha saw it. He followed after the man of God. He followed after the Spirit of God, and he followed after the power of God. He saw the raw working power of the Lord. He chose to go to the other side. All 50 of those seminary students could have gone to the other side. But he was the only one that had a hunger more than them. I truly believe this morning that all 50 of these men could have got what Elijah had if they hungered and they thirsted just a little more for it. And it's not that God chose Elijah more than them. It's not that God said, well, I'm going to give Elijah more than anybody else. It's not, as I told you, I love Brother Allen, Brother Trey. It's not that God said, I'm going to separate these men and do more for them than somebody else. It's not about that. Because God wants to do that for all of us this morning. He wants to bless every one of us. He wants to fill every one of our lives with power. But what separated this man from those other 50 men? He was the only one that wanted it. And the reason those 50 didn't get it, because they didn't want it. And if you want to be honest and you want to get real, if we're struggling in our Christian life, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. And I'm sure some of those 50 men said, well, I guess God loved him more. No, but he loved God more. And he had a passion and a desire to get more and more and more. Child of God, never get satisfied. You have a hunger for the power of God. And you surround yourself with God's people, and you get to the church house every time the doors open, and you worship the Lord so that you can see the raw power of God at work. I was gone Wednesday night. I was preaching somewhere else. I hated it. You know why? Because I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss something. I'm nosier than anybody in this room. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss something. I can't stand to miss church. I can't stand to miss the fellowship of the brethren. You know why? Because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. Little old Miss Paisley got saved last week and baptized. Man, I'm glad I got to experience that. Little old Connor come down here, poured his heart out to God. I'm glad I got to experience that. That's the raw power of God at work. Tonight we're going to baptize him. We baptized Miss Paisley last week. Man, we get to experience the work and the power of God. But not everybody desires that power. Not everybody desires that power just like Elijah did. And oh, here's these 50 men, 40 men standing there, and they're saying, oh, look at him. Oh, look at him. He was always the teacher's pet. Let me tell you, what set him apart is he hungered and thirsted for the raw power of God. And let me tell you something, you listen right here, right now. The power of God is as real today as it was in the day of Elijah. It's as real today. Can't more than two people amen that. The power of God is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. Isn't that awesome? God can work just as mighty today as he did 2,000 years ago. Yes, the word of God's fulfilled. Yes, he works in different ways. He don't have to do some of the things he did in the Old Testament because we have his spirit and we have his word. But he's still alive. He's still well. He's still full of power. And his people ought to long for the power of God. And there I went preaching this week, and Monday through Thursday, I prayed, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. And on Thursday night, the preacher got up. He said, I don't know about you people, but I've been amazed. And they just went to shout, and I had no idea what they talked about. But everything he preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, I preached the same thing all week long. All week long. And every one of them just, how did God know? I said, I promise he didn't text me. I didn't know what he preached. He didn't know what I was preaching, but that's the Lord. And when you miss church, and you miss the fellowship, and you miss the assembly, and you miss prayer life, and you miss Bible life, that's the things that you miss out on and you never get. Number four, what set him apart is he followed after the love of God. All eyes up here, please. All eyes up here. When I... Growing up, my dad was a preacher. And my whole, when I knew God wanted me to preach, I didn't surrender because I seen some things he went through. But one thing I never understood is the disappointment and the discouragement a preacher faces on a daily basis in the ministry. Because if you hadn't found out, people will let you down. People will disappoint you. And you know, some people, they don't want to serve the Lord. I find myself sometimes in my ministry spending more time inviting church members to church than I do the lost to heaven. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong when we spend more time praying the saints out of heaven than the sinners out of hell. There's something wrong with that. And I thought in my ministry, how do I get to that place that I can help people go further with the Lord? I thought, well, maybe I'd just shame them. Let me just get up and rip them and romp them like the coach did the other night. And I've done it before, and it just don't work. I've tried to shame, I've tried to guilt, I've tried to do all these things. And what set this man apart to go a little further? Because he had a love. He had a love and a desire that Elijah could not start within him. But he had a passion and a desire. And the more that Elijah preached Jesus and preached God, he was drawn to this man. And as a pastor, I have one job, and it's to preach the gospel.
You say, well, I like one of them feel-good preachers where I can get an application out of it. If you can't apply the life of Jesus to your life, something's wrong. But my job as a preacher is to exalt Him every day. You know why, Miss Martha? So that we can fall in love with Jesus more and more and more. My job is not to get up here and shame anybody or guilt anybody. My job is very simply to present the life of Christ so that we can fall in love more and more and more with Jesus. What's going to change us? What's going to set our church apart from any other church? It's that energy. It's that energy. That Holy Spirit. How do we get that energy? By submitting ourselves to God. By falling in love with Jesus. More and more and more every day. What's going to set you apart as a father, as a mother? What's going to set you apart? It ought to be your love for the Lord. And I say this a lot, but I mean it. Do not serve God out of obligation. Because you'll never serve Him right and you'll never continue to serve Him if it's out of obligation. Can I ask you to do something this morning? Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. And the preacher's never going to have to ask another church member to come to church. Amen. The preacher's never going to have to do that. Preacher can go work on lost folks. If saved people would just fall in love with the Lord. And as the preacher exalts Jesus, and we learn more and more and more there is to know about Jesus, we fall more in love with Him every single day. And I get to go to church, and I get to go to Bible study, and I get to go to revival, and I get to do all of these things very simply because I love Jesus. Why do we love Jesus? Because He first loved me. Are y'all awake? Why do we love Jesus? Because He first loved us. Let me tell you something. I didn't start this. He did. You say, well, I didn't ask for it. Well, you sure needed it. Aren't you thankful He gave us Jesus? Whoo, where would we be without Jesus? Where would we be if He didn't love us first? I didn't go looking for God. He came looking for me. I didn't go to Him, God, can I be a preacher? I promise you, I didn't do that. God came to me. And He's coming to you this morning. And He wants us to fall in love with Him. He wants us to have this love relationship that goes beyond obligation or commitment. But you're here because you simply just in love with Jesus. Just in love with Jesus. You know these people that I follow, what sets them apart from everybody else? Is they just love Jesus. It's not that they're great. It's not that they're better than anybody else. But they just love the Lord. Let me ask you today, child of God. Do you love the Lord? Does that love show up in your walk with Him? It ought to be your passion and desire to serve the Lord. It seems like sometimes we spend more time of how to get out of things with God than we do getting there with the Lord. How are we going to get past that? How are we going to get past that place that this stagnant, this just no desire, no passion, this laziness, this slothfulness in the ministry and in the work with the Lord? How are we going to get past that? Is we got to get to the gospel. And we got to let Jesus get exalted in our life. And we got to look at what Jesus did for us. And we got to fall in love with the one who died for us. I want to ask you to stand very quiet, very reverent. Very quiet, very reverent. Notice this. Jesus left the splendor of heaven and became poor for us. He left heaven and glory behind so that we might be rich through Him. He was born of a virgin. The seed of God became and dwelt with man. The very seed of an almighty God came down to this old awful sin-stricken world. And He dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. And He went and He seen people with ailments and sickness and health problems. And the Bible says that He had compassion on them. He was moved with compassion. and he healed people. He healed the sick. He called dead people out of the grave. Amen. This is Jesus. And then he went to the garden and he prayed one of the most beautiful prayers. Father, let this cup pass from me. But if it's not your will, I'll follow you. That cup that he drank in the garden was your sins and my sins and our burdens. And he drank it and he put the weight of the world upon himself. Why do you do what you do, preacher? Because Jesus put my weight upon his shoulders. And he went throughout that city, went all the way to Golgotha. And there he was crucified for me. And he laid down his life freely. No Roman soldiers took it from him. He laid it down freely. You say, well, them soldiers killed him. No, he laid down his life. Jesus could have come off that cross. Amen. He could have come off. He could have called 12 legions of angels, come and get me. But he said, angels, it's not me that needs to be saved. It's Josh that needs to be saved. Don't you come on a rescue mission, because I'm on a rescue mission. I'm here to save them that are lost. Hey, I'm them that are lost. You're them that are lost. And he was buried. A dead Savior's nobody's Savior. 3 days later, he got up. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Oh man, you got victory today because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. You don't have to settle for sin. You don't have to settle for hell anymore. Because Jesus got up and he walked out. And the devil had conquered and conquered and conquered. And Jesus said, that's enough. 13-year-old boy bowed down his head. Said, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. And something come into me that day that I hadn't lost yet. And that old cross don't get old. Miss Barbara, the fact the king's coming doesn't get old to me. The blood doesn't get old because it drives that love and that passion every day. Now, I've talked enough. God's talking to your heart. If you're here this morning, child of God, and you know that you hadn't been doing enough, if you know that you're not where you need to be spiritually, I want you to fall on your face where you are and say, God, help me. Lord, forgive me. These altars are open this morning. You can come forward. If you need help, I'll talk to you. I'll pray with you. We need some people to fall in love with Jesus. If there's somebody lost here, would you walk down right now? Let me show you how to be saved. Every